Mentoring Solutions Proprietary Limited does not hold an Australian financial services license and does not purport to offer or provide financial advice. The information contained in this recording does not constitute specific financial, accounting, tax, legal, or other similar type advice. We strongly recommend that you liaise with your own financial, legal, accounting, and other advisors to ensure that the concepts contained herein can be tailored to your specific needs. Mentoring Solutions Proprietary Limited does not accept liability for any loss, damage or expense incurred by you if you rely on or utilise any of the methods, techniques or ideas discussed within this recording.
Hi and welcome. My name is Brendan Kelly and I'm one of the property coaches of the Results Mentoring Program. I'm joined today by Shilpa, who's written a chapter on subdivision. Welcome, Shilpa.
Hello, Brendan.
Thank you very much for chatting to us today. I appreciate that greatly.
Pleasure.
Tell me a little bit about yourself.
I was trained as a homeopathic medical doctor in India and practiced for a few years before we moved to Australia in 2004. Currently, I'm in Sydney, in the northern part of Sydney, and I work as a consultant homeopath and also own an online software business. When we moved to Sydney, we actually moved with very little money of our own, and Atul got a job in IT, and I took up some part-time lecturing and set up my own practice. Eventually, we saved enough money for a deposit. Then we had a baby, so I have a lovely four-year-old right now. And we were all set to buy our very first home before we got into property investing.
That's great. You have a boy who's 4 years old?
Yes.
He's a handful?
Yes, he is. He keeps me on my toes.
That's very good. And you said you've got an online internet business, and
I'm also a consultant homeopath, and I lecture part-time in natural therapy colleges in Sydney.
Tell me, that sounds to me like it's a very big plate full of activities.
Okay. Right now, I just work 2 days a week, so I lecture only 2 hours in a week.
Excellent.
Yes, and I, for 2 days, when he goes to preschool, from 9 to 3, I have my practice.
Fantastic. That's great. If I could be so bold as to ask, tell me, what does your part-time jobs and businesses bring in for you as income into the family?
As income? Well, it's before we started property, I would say not more than 20K per year.
Okay, so you're earning under $20,000 a year part-time?
Yes.
And decided you'd get into property?
I did, yeah.
Excellent. So what was the trigger then for you to get into property investing?
We were getting acquainted with this whole new idea of financial freedom. We were reading all these books and attending seminars when we came here in 2004. And we were quite good at saving and saved a fair bit in the first few years, but soon realized that even if we continued saving this way, it won't really make us financially free and we needed to do something different. In the meantime, we had a baby and I was very busy for 3 years. Until Atul applied for results mentoring. And he was into full-time work, whereas I had the time and I chose not to get back to full-time work once my son was a bit older. And rather than going into my job, I would work towards our goals. And this was actually the moment, I guess, when the real action started.
Why property?
To be really frank, I wasn't passionate about property in particular. For me, it was just a vehicle, just like any other, including shares and starting a business. It's only after I actually started educating myself into property investing and crunching numbers, meeting people, and, you know, I realized my strengths and I actually began to enjoy it.
That's fantastic. It was a tool that brought you to the results program then?
Yes, it was through my husband who attended Steve's seminar in 2005 and he got his books and he discussed about joining results. In 2008, and I was like, always had this idea, well, it was something he was going to do, and I was just going to be the support factor.
Kind of like an innocent bystander that fell into it.
I was.
Fantastic. All right, so let's briefly describe then your real deal. Tell me about the strategy.
So it's a subdivision deal. There are two houses on a single title. It's about a 638 square meter block. The front home, it's a two-bedder, a five-row home, and the rear one is again a two-bedder, but it's a bit newer. And this property had been on the market for around 6 months, originally listed for $600K. We first saw that property in October 2008 and put in just a verbal offer of $470, which was rejected by the vendor.
Hang on, they were asking $600 and you put in an offer of $470?
Yes.
Why did you do that?
Because I knew my area quite well and I knew what those houses were selling for in that area. And the vendor actually didn't have a lot of paperwork. She didn't actually have any sort of paperwork for the back house. So for me, it was not even a legal house because she had nothing to show me. I mean, so I went to the council and I actually got information about the whole thing. So for me, I put in an offer for any other two-bedder on that size of a plot, and it was $450.
So
I offered to give her so a two-bedder.
So you basically, if I may, you basically saw this property, even though it had two houses on it,
yeah.
You offered a price according to one house,
and also
completely ignoring the second house.
Yes, I completely ignored the second house because I thought it could happen that the council would just tell me to knock it down because it wasn't a legal structure.
And how did the vendor take that?
The vendor was really offended. I mean, she didn't realize that, you know, she didn't have the paperwork and she didn't have any sort of information about the back house. And she was actually considering that as a separate dwelling. But once I went to the council and realized that it was a structure, but she hadn't really things she had to comply with for it to be considered as a dual lock, and she hadn't really met those regulations. So that was what the problem was with the property, and that was the main reason why it didn't really sell on the market. So what I did was I put in a verbal offer of $470, considering $450 for the front house and $30K extra for the back house.
If the vendor was looking for $600, $470 would have been quite upsetting to receive.
Yes.
What did you eventually settle for?
Eventually, we put in a conditional offer for $495, and the price was acceptable to the vendor, but the conditions were not. But after a month and a half of negotiations, we finally signed an unconditional contract for $485.
An unconditional contract for $485. So an asking price of $600 and a purchase price of $485.
Yes.
So what you found was a problem property.
It was a problem property. Another problem with the back house was it had termite problems in the past.
Not only was it lacking a certificate of occupancy, there was also damage from termites.
Yeah.
Wow. That's an interesting purchase. Did the termites put you off?
It might have, but because we had friends in the results program, one of them was a carpenter, and he actually came in and had a look and realized that it wasn't a structural damage. It was something which was a positive in a way because people are put off by such properties, but there was no active termite there and there wasn't a lot of structural damage. It was about 1K and that was it. So he said, go for it. That's no problem.
Oh, fantastic.
And we got another pest inspection report which also said it had no structural problem. So that was a win.
That's a great outcome. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Quick question before we go into the numbers. Why a subdivision?
Now, to start with, I was crunching on numbers on different types of strategies in my target area. So I had chosen that this was the area I wanted to go with and realized that a particular strategy, which was a buy, build a duplex, subdivide and sell strategy, was quite appropriate for that area and the numbers stacked quite well on that. And doing this research, I stumbled across this property, which had already got two houses, but they were on one title. And my research visits to the council showed that it could be subdivided. So but with much less effort, our numbers showed a good profit margin of more than 20%.
Particularly since the asking price was $600 and you purchased it for $485. Congratulations.
Yes, it was also a bargain that way. So,
well done.
Thank you.
So let's go into the numbers and see how this deal is working out. Now, we'll talk first about your budget and proposed numbers.
Mm-hmm.
The buy price you got for $485.
Yeah.
Closing costs being the stamp duties and the legal costs, etc., to actually settle on the deal, were about $20,000, correct?
Yeah.
The length of time of the project, how long did you think this project would last?
We estimated about 12 months.
Wonderful. Holding costs. Now, if you're holding a property, therefore, you have to pay loan repayments and potential repairs or rates, that sort of stuff. Tell me, What were your holding costs?
None.
Now, why were your holding costs none?
Because it was a positively geared property. We had it tenanted right from day one, and it was positively geared for approximately $100 per week.
For those people listening to this, just a heads up about how Shilpa's managed this. She found a deal with two existing dwellings on it and has then rented those dwellings out. A subdivision doesn't stop a tenant living in the property. So having two existing dwellings on one title, both rented out, improves the rental rate for that block of land.
Yes.
The rent was so good and the purchase price was so good that it was actually a positively geared property. The rent exceeded the expenses of holding the property. So Shilpa actually purchased a property in Sydney that was earning more than the cost of holding it, so it was positively geared, while it was potentially going up in value because of market changes, while she was subdividing it so she could sell it back into the market for a greater profit. There's no downside in this deal. Shilpa, this is an awesome purchase. Congratulations.
Thanks a lot.
There are no holding costs.
No.
But there are subdivision costs.
There were substantial subdivision costs.
So why are there substantial subdivision costs?
Well, to start with, I had a surveyor who did a detailed survey on the property. We have to build a driveway because there were a few things which the Duolock hadn't complied with originally by the previous owner. We had to actually meet all those compliances. So we had to build a driveway and have individual car spaces for both the houses.
And what would the cost for that be?
The cost for building and also the separation of services and the whole thing. So the cost originally estimated was $95K.
Well done. In selling it then, we anticipate there'd be some selling costs being commission paid for sale.
Yes.
There'd be so about 22,000 for
22,000.
That. Given all those costs, what do you think and propose that you would have been able to sell it for?
$750K.
How was that broken up?
Okay, so that was $350 for the back for the front house and $400 for the back house.
So if you sell $350 for the front house and $400 for the back house after buying it for $385 and having all of the expenses, what do you think the profit was going to be?
It was about $70K.
That's not a bad deal. To actually purchase a property that is cash flow positive and then sell independent properties back into the market for a profit of $70,000 is a good deal to have purchased. Let's go into what actually happened, shall we?
Okay.
You purchased it for $485, as we said, with closing costs of around about $20,000. You planned for a 12-month project. What did it turn into?
It was more than that. It was about 15 months.
But is that a problem?
I don't think so, because it was already positively geared, so there were no holding costs.
In the scenario that you had, given that it was positively geared, it made no difference how long this project was going to be held.
No.
Again, a fantastic deal. The strategy costs you said were going to be 95. What did they end up being?
$120K.
What were the increase in costs on account of?
It was the difference in the type of driveway required by the council. They wanted a semi-permeable type.
Something that would absorb water.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
So that actually added up to the cost.
Selling costs would be around about $22,000, $25,000.
Yep.
Have you managed to sell one of them or two of them yet?
Yes, we have been able to sell the front one.
The front one?
Yes.
Now, you'd propose that the front one would be worth $350. What did you sell it for?
$420. Yeah.
$70,000 more than you thought.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
What do you put that down to?
Two things. Initially, the price was very conservative to start with, the $350. Because there were no similar deals in the market then, we didn't really have any comparative values to go on for. So there were no battle axe blocks with similar two-bedder houses. A battle axe would be one house in the front and one at the back. I actually estimated the price based on townhouses or villas or apartments. There was always a possibility that it would be a higher value than the one I had really worked my numbers on. And the second one was there was this mini boom, or this was this huge boom which happened in Sydney since the year we bought the property. So I think that also added to the whole aspect. And also it was a unique property. There aren't many similar ones in the market, and especially because the price in the area for a normal three-bedroom house is about $500K, and this was something people budgeted for. And to actually have an independent house with no strata fees for lesser than that was something which was exciting.
Now, there'd be people who would be listening to this saying that you were lucky, but I'd like to suggest that's not the case. The reason I'd say that is because Shilpa actually did the research, pulled the numbers together, determined that it was a viable project, and actually made the decision to buy the property. She was in the market when the market picked up. Is that luck? No, it takes fortitude and diligence to actually be in the right place at the right time.
And also because this property was on the market for about 8 months before we bought it, there were quite a few people who went through and the sale didn't go with because of the termite problem or because of the problems, or the vendor didn't have enough money to really go ahead and do the subdivision herself. So there were lots of factors which actually added in. And the other reason was there was always the possibility that the subdivision might not go through.
It's like winning Tats Lotto. Tats Lotto, people would say, would be lucky, but if you don't have a ticket, there's no way you win. Well, Shilpa managed this deal a lot better than buying a ticket in Tats Lotto. It took a lot more fortitude and guts and due diligence and effort to get into the game, and it is not a matter of luck that she was in the right place at the right time. Shilpa, have you sold the second property?
No, but we are on our way. We might do that once the driveway has been constructed and we will put it on the market off the plan again.
And you anticipate at this point the price to be?
About 450.
About 450?
Yeah.
So instead of 400, 450. So if your profit was planned to be 70, what are you thinking the profit might be now?
Now, we've worked our profit considering the back house to sell at 430.
So a conservative sale price?
Yeah, and the profit will be 203K.
That's extraordinary. One purchase, 15-month deal, $203,000 in profit. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So were there any difficulties along the way?
Oh, plenty. Small difficulties throughout the entire deal. Mostly do with managing difficult tenants, managing my team, getting the deal off the line. Everything was for the first time. I was learning as well. I think solving all those problems, it was such a wonderful, it was a great learning curve. You take action and you solve the problems and you move on. So that's really got me more confident.
And the deal ended up working better than you planned.
Oh, yes. I would say the major things which really mattered the most just went according to plan. Like, for example, keeping the deal cash flow positive for most of the time, or getting the council approval, or working more or less within the estimated construction budget, and finally getting the end sale value for the first house we wanted, went all according to plan.
Was there any value in having someone around who'd done the deal before?
Definitely. Just having someone on the other end of the line whenever I got stuck or there was a problem, it was really a relief. I could take immediate action and solve the problem and move on without wasting time.
So let's now talk about the chapter that you've written. I want to explore a specific part of the process of investing with you. Mm-hmm. And there are two things I want to talk to you about. One of the critical components in being able to get into a deal is to have an idea of the ideal property that you're after. Yeah. And having got the ideal property, being able to actually find and choose that deal.
Mm-hmm.
Shilpa, give me a description of the ideal property that you are after.
Ideal property I was after was a property on a 600 square meter block or more with at least a 15 meter frontage with the older house on top which you can knock down. So there is not a lot of value in the house, possibly sloping towards the road. So there are no stormwater drain problems. And also a sale value of around 450-ish mark. So it would work within our budget, within the numbers I was looking for.
Now, for people listening to this, can you hear that that is a very, very specific description of what Shilpa was after? This is the sort of description you need for the property that you're looking to find. It allows you to find the needle in the haystack of properties that are currently up for sale. Choosing this deal specifically, Shilpa, isn't what your ideal property was. So what made you get this one?
Okay, now the thing which actually drew me to this deal was there were already two houses, but a detached duplex. So there were separate houses on a block of land, which was the land which I was looking for. I actually went into the council and I saw a subclause which mentioned that if you have original existing houses on a similar block of land, then you can actually subdivide them, but they have to be pre-existing houses. Because today, if you want to subdivide and have two houses, it has to be a large area. You cannot do it on a 600 square meter. So it was actually a very tricky subclause which mentioned pre-existing houses, and that was something which attracted me to this. Because if you don't know the area well, and if you don't know the council rules quite well, and if you're not really focused on those specific rules, you won't understand the value of that property.
So while Shilpa was after a specific ideal property that she had in mind, she was open enough and flexible enough to some variation on the main theme. In this particular case, she found a property where the construction had already been done. And as a result of that, she did the due diligence around the possibility of a subdivision there, finding a very specific clause in council relating specifically to that deal. That's not luck. That is something that requires a focus of attention and requires a diligence to purpose. Shilpa, your future, what's next for you?
Doing this deal and turning it around well has given me the confidence to do more creative deals, especially putting a deal together, construction, development deals, and involving other investors and sharing the profits. So that's what I'm actually looking for and trying to find another deal which works in that profit margin I'm looking for, around 20% and more. So that would be my next step.
Excellent. Is it time for you to fly solo? You've done one well now. Is it time for you to spread your wings and take on the world yourself?
Look, I would say it's always good to have a mentor who has done that before. It just saves such a lot of time. If you wait to learn from your mistakes and you struggle finding your own solutions, it would actually take a lot of time. So mentor is definitely important to save time and effort. And you can always have someone who's done better deals than you, how much ever you grow. I wouldn't say it's time to fly solo at the moment. I would still require a mentor at this time.
How close do you think you are to financial freedom?
We are on track. We're not yet there. Today, mentally, it now seems very much possible and within our reach as compared to, say, a year back. There was a bit of doubt, but now it seems very, very possible.
Congratulations, Shilpa. That's awesome.
Thank you.
If we were to leave now and you were to offer three tips for people who may be listening to this, what pearls of wisdom do you think you'd be able to offer?
Education and knowing what you want is very, very important. Secondly, having a good mentor who's done that before. And lastly, just taking action. Yeah, you just have to get in there. I would say you get into that analysis, paralysis mode, and I was very near to getting there. And you know you've done, you have enough knowledge to get in.
Shilpa, thank you very much for your time today. I appreciate it greatly. I hope that those listening to this have got some value out of Shilpa's words of wisdom and her experiences. Shilpa, I wish you all the very best for the future. Take great care, and we'll be in touch soon, I'm sure.
Thanks a lot, Brendan.
We've just spoken to Shilpa around the deal that she's done on subdivision. By now, you should be getting an idea of how your deal might be coming together. I encourage you to keep reading the book and keep listening for pearls of wisdom that will help you achieve the financial independence that you're after. Keep reading, keep learning, and keep listening. Until next chapter, take care.